This is Relevant in Rome, a weekly podcast from the Vatican with Relevant Radio Rome correspondent Ashley Nerona. Now here's the latest on Pope Francis and all that's happened in Rome this week.
Good morning. Buongiorno, Ashley. Good to be with you once again on another Marian feast. Today we're celebrating Our Lady of Sorrows.
Yes, thank you so much, John. Buongiorno to you. Very happy to be with you on this important feast day.
Well, there's been a lot of attention of the Holy Father's trip, a four-day pastoral trip to Hungary and Slovakia. What's the latest with the Holy Father's trip? How has he been received?
Yes, in fact, this, of course, John, this is his second papal trip of 2021. The first was to Iraq back in March, and this makes his 34th papal trip during his pontificate. And as you mentioned, John, this past Sunday, Pope Francis visited Budapest on the occasion of the closing mass for the 52nd Eucharistic Congress. This was the first papal visit to Hungary in 25 years. So there he met with Hungary's president, he met with church leaders, he met with the Ecumenical Council for Churches and with Jewish communities there. He also met with Prime Minister Viktor Orban, who asked Pope Francis to help preserve Christian Hungary. He asked for protection and promotion of the family. And then Pope Francis celebrated the closing mass. There were 100,000 people who gathered there in Heroes Square. And in his homily, the Feast of the Exaltation of the Cross, he spoke about how important it is for all of us to gaze on the image of the crucified Christ and to remember that his wounds are due to our sins. He urged all the faithful to join Jesus in our spiritual imaginations during his passion, to walk behind him during that passion. Now, Pope Francis was in Hungary for a short 7 hours, then on to Slovakia, where he's been for 4 days. So from Monday, from the 12th until today. To give you a little background on Slovakia, there are approximately 66% of Catholics in that country. 62% of those belong to the Roman Catholic Church, and the remaining are of the Greek Catholic Church. Now, Pope Francis, first visit, he went to Bratislava, the capital, of course, of that country. He was there for a day and a half. He met the President of the Republic in the Golden Hall. He also met with authorities of civil society, did a diplomatic tour. He went to the Cathedral of St. Martin, and he also met with bishops and priests. He met with lay people, consecrated people, visited the Jewish communities there as well. Now, on Tuesday, he visited Prešov, and there he presided at the Byzantine Divine Liturgy. He visited Košice, and he met with an auditorium filled with children. He took their questions, in fact. And some of the gems that he left the children with was to speak about confession, the importance of confession. He said it's not a place to be punished and humiliated, but to go as children who are running towards the Father's loving arms. He also suggested that the children sit for a few minutes after confession to really contemplate the forgiveness that they have just received. And he encouraged all youth to not be afraid to embrace the cross. He said that embracing the cross is what helps people overcome their fears. And that is what brings confidence to continue on that difficult path. He also said it brings the joy of Jesus when we embrace the cross. And then, John, today, Pope Francis is in Sostin. This is the final day of his journey. And he, of course, is was this morning at the Shrine of Our Lady of Sorrows there. Now, she is, in fact, today is her feast day, as you mentioned, John, and she's also the most important devotion of the entire country because she is the patroness of Slovakia. So this is really the most important sanctuary in the entire country. Now, the devotion to Our Lady of Sorrows there in Slovakia goes back to the year 1564. And the story is that a noble woman had been praying just incessantly for her husband, especially, who was a count. And apparently he was an irascible man. He had a bad temper, and she constantly prayed that he would turn a new leaf. The story goes that the couple was riding along in a carriage, and he became angry and pushed his wife out of the carriage on the street, and immediately had remorse for what he did. He asked for her forgiveness, and in thanksgiving for that, they built the chapel, which is now that of Our Lady of Sorrows. So there, today at that special little chapel, Pope Francis prayed. He prayed along with bishops. He asked all to do a special consecration to Our Lady. And he asked all to stop it and think about the pain and the sorrows of Our Lady and how, of course, she bore those sorrows so well. She bore them with strength and with tears. And then from there, he celebrated the Holy Mass and then heads to Bratislava International Airport. Well, he will then return right here to the Vatican today, John.
It sounds like a very, very busy trip for the Holy Father during these 4 days, and he's been very well received, large crowds, and his message, always a message of reminding the faithful of the importance of our Lord Jesus Christ and his Blessed Mother, especially on this feast of Our Lady of Sorrows. I imagine the Holy Father will do as he always does, head straight for the Basilica of St. Mary Major once he arrives back in Rome to give thanks and pray to our Blessed Mother for a successful trip.
Yes, yes, he will, in fact. And of course, you know, he, in addition to some of those special things that I mentioned, John, there were other additional meetings that the Holy Father had. So, for example, he went to visit a center in Slovakia that is run by Mother Teresa's sisters, the Sisters of Charity. It was called the Bethlehem Center. And this was established back in 1997. It was a former kindergarten room. And now it's providing shelter, food, and assistance to homeless, especially those who need long-term care, especially those who otherwise might die in the streets. And so the missionaries of charity actually came to Slovakia after Mother Teresa had visited the country. And she then established their work of mercy there. And they call the Bethlehem Center in an area where the area that it's located, they call it the Bronx of Slovakia, that due to the local drug trade there. And so his visit there, it was live streamed, even though there was not a lot of publicity about that particular visit, John. And that's because the sister said they don't want a lot of publicity about what they're doing. But while he was at the center, he greeted the homeless people as well as those who are working there. And a children's choir performed songs right there in the courtyard, John.
Now, the Holy Father, of course, has always promoted a devotion to Our Lady of Sorrows, our suffering Blessed Mother. How is this feast day of Our Lady of Sorrows celebrated in Rome and the rest of Italy, Ashley?
Yes. Well, you know, John, it's celebrated especially in a town called Belluno in Veneto in a special way. Now, they have been celebrating since the end of the 1400s. And that is because there in their community, the Servite Fathers came, and the Servites have a special devotion to Our Lady of the Seven Sorrows. So they built a church there, and of course, that was soon followed by a beautiful statue of Our Lady of the Seven Sorrows there. Now, back in 1716, there was a terrible epidemic in that area, and the people of Belluno felt that it was through the intercession of Our Lady of Sorrows that they were saved, that eventually the epidemic did pass. And so they began the tradition of a wonderful procession, a dramatic procession with Our Lady, with her black cape, the statue of Our Lady, going through the streets of Belluno. And then that has continued. And in fact, there was another famous procession there in 1840. 1948 during the events of the First War of Independence. And some locals actually crafted a cloth for Our Lady to wear that was green, white, and red. So the colors of the Italian flag. So ever since that time, indeed, the procession continues through the streets of Belluno, honoring Our Lady of Seven Sorrows, especially in Thanksgiving for her prayers for all of the people of that area, and surely for all of us, John.
It's one thing for sure, the Italians know how to celebrate our Blessed
Yes.
Mother. Now, turning to an international medical summit that's going to be going on, there's going to be a lot of people tuning in for this first international COVID summit on treatments. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us a little bit about the summit?
Yeah, John, it's so interesting. Imagine that 100 million viewers have tuned in on live stream. It's happening right here in Rome. And it's an initiative of the Hippocratic Group. So this is an international network of physicians and researchers and health and social workers and bioethicists. And the theme of this is to remove fear. The goal of those who are involved is to bring balance. They want to bring balance from a medical perspective and really encourage human freedom of conscience. And so this group of medical professionals have detected a strong sense of fear that's overtaken people. So they want to dialogue. They want to encourage a healthy sense of uninhibited medical dialogue amongst doctors on all sides to talk about proven COVID treatments. So that's what this is about here in Rome. So they've assembled doctors that have had close to 100% success rates in treating their patients with COVID. And now those doctors have gone on to publish their data, to publish peer-reviewed articles about the effectiveness of those treatments. Now, the reality is that this Hippocratic group says is that most of these treatments are easy to obtain. They're not highly profitable for the pharmaceutical industry, and so they don't get a lot of play. And so the goal of this conference is to help people all over the world, beginning with the onset of first symptoms, know how to do. They're even offering online help. They've created an app where a person can be connected immediately to a specialist who can help treat symptoms and point them to local doctors and resources. So they're really focusing on treating symptoms. One of the things that they noted was that there is an issue for that here in Italy, especially, where if someone may have symptoms, they're immediately forced into isolation, but that's before it's even known if they actually have COVID or they may just have the sniffles, right? So they're trying to overcome that. So the goal is to restore people's health, to return to the original Hippocratic practice of medicine for the common good of society. And it's quite fascinating, John, because as you mentioned, it's really just made a lot of news in the medical community as over 100 million people are tuning into what's going on right here in Rome right now, John.
That's a really, really big audience. Ashley, is this being done in Italian, multiple languages? Can people here in the States tune in?
Yes, they can. In fact, it is being done in multiple languages, but the common language is English. And so the website is hippocrate.org. So I can spell that for you. It's hippocrate.org. Hippocrate.org.
Relevant in Rome is your weekly connection to the Vatican. Listen to live reports from Rome with Ashley Narona every Wednesday morning at 7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central on Morning Air. And listen right here next week to Relevant in Rome for the latest on Pope Francis and news from the Vatican.